This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Talk sports.
You want to be a beast at lifting, at football, at anything in life, you need to have big testicular fortitude. Look at me. I may have a small penis.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
I don't know why he would want the attention.
Hey, he's a grower, not a shower.
On 1340 WKG.
Isn't it kind of dangerous, I ask? What are the side effects? As he then snatched it away, looked at the label, his eyes grew wide. Oh dear, it says here that side effects may include getting huge with occasional bouts of manliness. He said he had struggled gaining some weight. Coach Mack asked him, do you know why I eat so many bananas? He says, have you ever seen a small gorilla?
All right, hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. We're going to start off hour two with headlines. Draven, what do you got for us?
Well, it is official. Lance Leopold will be the new head coach at Kansas. You know what's crazy? I saw something. Their spring game. Isn't it like this weekend?
Oh, snap.
I want to say I'm pretty sure it's this weekend, and they have yet to have a coach. Like, what have they been doing this whole time? They got assistant coaches running the show.
Like,
but yeah,
I guess
Lance Leopold expected to become the new head coach over at Kansas. We kind of reported that yesterday, but just wanted to let everybody know that is official. We had a lot of happy people about Justin Fields, including Eddie Jackson on Instagram Live. About time we got us a real quarterback. How about that?
Not like this.
Shots, some shots fired. Maybe
to everybody
the Red
on
Rifle.
The roster and Trubisky.
Right. But yeah, Bears
who's,
fans excited.
Who's on the roster besides Andy Dalton?
Foles.
Foles is still there.
Sure do. Okay. Sure do.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Still paying him.
What
so.
Are they going to do with him? That's.
I don't know. He still makes like, I think it was like $4 million. I think would still be the cap hit to anybody. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That's somebody who can parlay a five-game stretch into millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Pretty much. You know what else was crazy from the draft? Just a couple other takeaways. Alabama became the first school in the common draft era to have five offensive players selected in the first round of a single draft. What do we make of that?
Yeah, it's just, I mean,
I guess Leatherwood was a bit of a surprise, but still, I mean, five guys.
Yeah, it's just the dominance, man. I mean, that team last year was loaded, and it's coming to fruition a little bit in the draft. I really thought they were going to break Miami's record of most players taken in the first round. They tied it last night.
Oh, yeah. What was it? Was it
six.
Okay.
Yeah, they tied it. I really thought Barmore had a chance to go first round, and I would have broken it. But
surprised he kind of fell.
Yeah, Bucks went Tyrone instead there at 32. So the record still stands, but they tied it. And, I mean, it's just the dominance. I mean, the best teams have the best players, you know, going to the draft. It's just kind of what it is. And Alabama's obviously been the best program the past few years, so they rocked out more players.
It is crazy just the shift they've had over the last, you know, few years from defense to offensive players. I mean, now they went from, like, I feel like they're more of like a, what, linebacker, corner school to now they're just pure receivers, right? They just keep pumping out wideouts. Either way, pretty crazy.
I mean, yeah, pretty much linebackers, safeties, corners, and then running backs.
Yeah, that was it.
Have they had a quarterback draft the first round since Joe Namath? Oh, I asked Tua last year.
Yeah, past Tua.
I don't think before Tua. I can't really remember off the top of my head.
Because
all the other guys were just late round guys.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if Joe Namath was the first round. I think Tua might have been the first.
I'm pretty sure. I think Namath was a number one pick.
Oh, he was.
Okay. Yeah, I want to say. I'll look that up. But, yeah, I want to say he was a top pick.
It's pretty impressive, though. I mean, you go that long stretch without having a first-round quarterback, and you have two back-to-back. I mean, it's honestly a testament to, like, kind of what Draven was arguing for yesterday about how
Nick
Saban's completely changed his
strategy. he morphed it, and he's changed with the times, and he's been really good at it.
Still didn't win the point there for such a great argument there, Hayden. It's funny how John ain't in the room, and you say, oh, wow, Draven made some good points, huh? Maybe she could have got the point there, Hayden.
Good point, but you didn't make the best.
Whatever. Speaking of quarterbacks, Hayden, the Steelers are extending Mason Rudolph, surprisingly. 1 year, $5 million extension through 2022. and includes $4 million for playing time incentives. So Mason Rudolph, locking in him as the solidified backup. I mean, do you guys think that this is the future for the Steelers? Obviously didn't draft a quarterback in the first round. I mean, could still take one, maybe second round with, you know, Trask, the Stanford quarterback, Davis, or is it Davis? David, whatever. Yeah, Mills guy. Mills. Yeah, him as well. So they have some chances, but Rudolph, I mean, extending him, I thought was a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dobbs went back there as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's just their backup guy, somebody they're comfortable with. They wanted to keep him in, you know, in-house. So I don't think he's the future. I don't think he's the future there. But, yeah, I think they'll probably still draft a quarterback at some point in this draft just because, yeah, you got to get somebody better in behind Roethlisberger there. And, you know, he could be gone any year now.
Right.
Probably next year, to be honest. So they will need a quarterback of the future soon. Maybe they take one next year. Who knows? But Mason Rudolph is Mason Rudolph. You don't want that guy starting for your team.
Wouldn't think so, at least. Moving over to the association, the NBA. Man, what a performance. Kevin Porter for the Rockets went from strip club to dropping 50. I love the Barstool Sports headline. In true James Harden fashion, what a performance. He had 50 and 11. Last night,
yeah,
the Rockets upsetting the Bucks.
To score 50 and 10.
Yeah, absolutely insane. Yeah, he's still what 19? I don't even think this guy's 20 yet. Yeah. But he had an unbelievable performance. And following that up, concerns for Giannis. I don't know if you guys saw, but rolling the ankle. He was actually questionable going into the game because of an ankle injury. And yeah, like 30 seconds into the game, he rolled that ankle and did not look good, and we're getting kind of close to playoff time. A little concerning for the Bucks there, Cam.
I mean, yeah. Anytime you have any injuries getting this close to like you said, playoff time, it's a little concerning, and you're more inclined to let them rest and get back fully healthy, you know, before you put them back in there on the court, because you don't want to re-aggravate anything, you know, right before playoffs, stuff like that. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, the Bucks still are one of those teams that's supposed to be top in the East, going to be competing with, you know, Sixers and Nets to try and win a championship. So you want your guys at 100%, especially because I feel like those other teams have a few more superstars than you do at the moment. So, or not even superstars with the Sixers concerned, but just really good players up there. I think they got a little more depth than you. You can't really afford to be missing anybody that you really need. So I'm sure they'll let him heal up instead of, you know, rushing them back or anything.
Right. But still, I mean, that's
yeah, got to keep it in mind for sure.
Right. Little concerning, absolutely. Wanted to talk about some comments from Steve Kerr as well. I don't know if you guys saw this. Steve Kerr said, just kind of talking about players in the NBA, the modern NBA is what he called it, that guys just basically don't box out anymore, is simply what he is saying. He says it signals to me a modern team. This is the modern NBA. Guys don't box out. It's just the way it is. Every night on League Pass, I see the same thing. Players let guys come in from the weak side, and they think, I'll just get the rebound. It's a disease that is rampant in the NBA. The problem is, if you're a real small team like us, then it's going to hurt you even more than the other team. So what do we make of this? I mean, is this something going on in the NBA? Nobody boxing out? Is there something? Is Kerr onto something? Or is this just him complaining?
Well, as a Hawks fan, I don't really have that issue because Capella always boxes out.
Right, of course.
So I always see box outs every day, so I guess I haven't really noticed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's, oof, Embiid's kind of hard to box out. But, yeah, no, I guess if you think about it, like, there is a lot of times you see people just asleep under there, basically, and somebody, just sneaks in and gets an easy offensive rebound, a putback, stuff like that. I don't know if a disease is where I'd put it. I really haven't, like, looked for it, to be honest. So, like, I couldn't really, like, confirm or deny what exactly, you know, how prevalent it really is. But, yeah, no, if I, like, think about it casually, and it would check out. But, yeah, he's right, too, of him being undersized.
Yeah.
So They need all the boxing out technical stuff they can get. So I understand where he's coming from there a little bit, but you're also your team's not great at the moment.
That's true too. Yeah, maybe that's more the issue. Like I said, it feels like Kerr is always kind of kind of complaining about something, especially when the team's struggling. Tough loss for them last night. They got beat by the Timberwolves. Pelicans also got a big win last night, moving a little bit closer into that final 10 seed. I believe they're three games back, so not a huge chance at all at this point, but we'll definitely have to kind of keep eyes on that, see what happens.
Three games back of the 10 spot?
Yes, three games back. Well, we got now, what, 10 games left for most teams? We're getting at that 10-game mark. Kind of crazy as we get closer and closer to the postseason. Some other NBA kind of scores news around the league a little bit. Kevin Durant, my goodness. Did you see what KD did last night?
Oh, he had a great game. Wow.
He is back and better than ever. KD looks healthy. Dropped 42 last night on the Pacers, 42 and 10. 10 assists, not 10 rebounds for the 7-footer, 10 assists. I mean, Kevin Durant at full strength is just – this Nets team is ridiculous. They, again, blew out the Pacers last night. Steve Nash is basically just throwing the hands up just like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of nice when you're coaching a guy like Kevin Durant. What did you guys make of 42 points and 10 assists? My goodness. Is KD back to full strength? Is this his full form right here, Cam?
I think he's getting there. He's definitely getting there. And like you said, he looked the part last night. They really just need that team to be healthy together, because, I mean, that's what, you know, really going to decide is if they can mesh and play well with all three of them on the court. We haven't got to really see that a bunch this year. And like you mentioned earlier, like, we're almost at playoffs. Like, we're about 10 games left. We're coming down to crunch time. You would think they would like to get a little chemistry in before, you know, you hit the ground running in the playoffs. But also, same time, you'd rather your guys be healthy than rush anybody back. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, but Durant, like, we know he's still a stud. Like, yeah, he's going to be a stud. And that's going to be a problem if they're healthy going into the playoffs.
Tell me if I'm wrong, though. I mean, KD, this is his best performance since he's been fully back from the serious injury with Golden State, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this would probably be the best form we've seen KD in a long time. So it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, man. No, he's still the real deal, but that's the guy they were hoping they were still getting, you know, when they signed him.
Yep. And just want to give a little shout out. Did you guys see Najee Harris? Pretty awesome thing that he did, throwing the draft party for the kids at the homeless shelter where he actually lived at for several years growing up. That's where he threw a little draft party there. Really cool moment for Najee Harris as he got drafted with the 24th pick to the Steelers. I thought that was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to give back. One of those guys not forgetting where he came from, and
absolutely,
he went through the struggle and knows what those kids are kind of going through. And I'm sure they thought that was a super cool experience for sure as well to have him do that. But yeah, no, that's a good way to give back. Great way to give back. And glad he's doing that, doing the right thing out there, and just supporting the community and helping those kids out, because gotta be tough to be homeless as a kid. That's gotta be probably one of the toughest situations you could be in. So he understands that, and he's trying to make anything he can do to help, you know, make their life a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that he was homeless when he was a kid. I never heard that story.
I didn't either. Actually.
Yeah, I haven't seen a ton of the backstory.
Where is he from?
You think a story like that would come out?
Yeah, that's the ESPN
Texas?
Loves that kind of stuff.
California.
Oh, it's California. That's right. Big Brian Hayden over here.
Antioch.
ESPN does usually love those kind of stories. Yeah, it's like,
exactly.
let me do a feature length on this real quick.
Yeah. Maybe they have. Maybe just missed.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, no, good way to give back for sure.
Hayden, you getting a little nervous for hour three? What's going to happen? Getting a little butterflies in the stomach or what? How you feeling?
I don't think it's going to make
– I'm just expecting him to spit pee all over the studio.
If he spits it on me, man, it's going to get ugly
Draven,
here.
You're
right now.
You are in the splash
you right
zone.
Now, Hayden.
That's what I was going to tell you, Draven. You're in the splash zone, so.
I'm telling you,
really,
man.
I'd hate that for you, to be honest.
You got any more headlines?
Nah. Move on.
All right. Well, sweet. All right, headlines are brought to you by Crown Cleaners. Starch Madness, it may not be March, but Starch Madness is still going on. Last day to take advantage of Starch Madness. Bring in 3 dress shirts and get the 4th laundered for free at Crown Cleaners. All you have to do is go to fanrunradio.com, click on the Starch Madness logo. From there, you can print off a coupon and stick it with your shirts before they're picked up. Or just show it to them on your phone when you take your laundry to Crown Cleaners and support this local business. There's 2 locations, one on Bearden Hill, one on North Shore Drive. Schedule free pickup and delivery online at crowncleaners.com. They're taking, they're doing their thing, trying to take Kerry out there. Great local small business around here that's been around for a long time. And we're trying to keep them going. And, you know, support Fan Run Radio by supporting our own locally owned sponsors. It's Starch Madness, brought to you by Crown Cleaners, Knoxville's choice for dry cleaning for over 50 years.
Here's going to go. Hayden, what's your expectations? I feel like it's hard to follow up a kind of a blowout win like that, right, and try to kind of get back to those expectations a little bit?
Hope Tennessee sweeps this weekend.
That would be big.
They have the ability to.
Yeah.
And, Kentucky's just not as good as them.
You need to handle business.
Plain and simple, they've lost two games out of their last four that they should have won. Mm-hmm. Like, they should have swept Texas A&M, clearly.
Yep.
They let that one slip away due to bullpen issues again. Yep. And they just never showed up against Lipscomb. They had the opportunities. They just never, came through on them. So they just need to sweep this weekend and feel better about themselves going into Missouri next week.
Get the brooms out. When's the last time we swept a team? What, LSU?
I believe.
Because we didn't.
So.
Yeah, we didn't sweep.
We didn't sweep Florida.
We didn't sweep out.
Yeah, it was LSU.
Okay.
Yep. LSU. But we should have swept Florida, and we should have swept A&M.
Definitely should have swept Florida, man.
The A&M game was very similar.
Yeah, it was.
With the
that Saturday
collapse
game
in the seventh and eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You worried about that a little bit?
The bullpen is a weakness. That's for sure.
Yeah, makes you concerned, you know, especially for postseason play.
And it's even more concerning that probably their best guy or maybe number two guy of their bullpen, it was the one who blew it against A&M. It was Connell. It's been their best, pretty much their best lefty for sure,
mm-hmm.
and just completely collapsed against A&M. And I guess you could make the argument that the number one guy, Hundley, collapsed against Florida. So, everybody has a bad game. I'm not saying that's a sign for things to come, but it's a little concerning.
Yeah, for sure. But, we're building up to being an elite. We're trying to get to the elite status, and, you got to take some time. There's going to be some holes in the roster for now, but we're getting there. It's been a fun ride so far. I think it will continue to be fun, and pretty fun team to watch.
Yeah, shout out Jackson Greer last night, too, coming up for Pavloni. Hasn't really played that much since non-conference play.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all know about Pavloni's injury, right? Broken hand.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it is technically broken, but it's not like he can't play. He just can't play the whole series, He's going to have to sit out some. So it's big to have somebody come off the bench. I believe he's an ETSU transfer. From my friends up there in East Tennessee telling me that. And he's come in and played well. He gets on base. And he had a home run last night. Yeah.
Wow.
Two hits. So pretty solid replacement there for your All-American catcher.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, love to see that. Hopefully they keep it rolling next few games. But, yeah, love the baseballs. They're doing great things. Glad to have a winning program. It's nice. It's a nice change of pace.
Good bounce back. That was a good. After a tough loss to kind of blow out Kentucky like they did. That's definitely needed that.
Yeah, needed that for sure. Getting the boys right over there. But we'll catch a quick break, and we will come back on the other side. It is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa.
All right, NFL's draft is still kicking this weekend. Got rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Hopefully we see some Tennessee Vols finally go. Trey Smith is one of those guys that, we're trying to wait and see where he will go, if he's, slid at all. It seems like, we've consistently seen him around the second, third round. It's basically the consensus there at this point. So hopefully for his sake, he gets back into the second round. I could see it for sure. Lots of people have people like Landon Dickerson flagged for medical injury history. So that's one guard he probably doesn't have to worry about on some teams' boards being above him. So maybe the right team likes him and, pulls the trigger on him here in the second round tonight.
He's currently, just on the ESPN draft board, he's currently 68th. overall.
6-8 overall?
Left.
Okay.
So
that's
maybe
early
looking
third.
More, yeah, maybe a little more looking towards a third round. But that makes me think that if he's 6-8, he should get drafted today, right? You would think, but never know, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you would think so. He should be gone today. We've talked about it. Josh Palmer is a threat to possibly be in the third round there. We could see him late third round to the Saints or somebody like that for sure. So hopefully we get some Vols in the draft and we can, instead of us just being on the highlights of the guys getting drafted. I think it's like a legal obligation by ESPN that if a guy played against Tennessee, you have to show a highlight of him playing against Tennessee.
The Kentucky linebacker.
Of course.
Yeah, that one was rough.
Jamin Davis.
But I think we can finally put to rest the Trevor Lawrence Tennessee picture.
They love to throw that up there yesterday, the him and the Peyton comparison.
I don't know why. Why do they got to do that? I guess just the whole comparison to Peyton Manning, is that what that was?
Yeah, the 16, yeah. Born in Knoxville, grew up in Tennessee then.
His mom's favorite team, that's why he wore number 16, was because his mom's favorite team was Tennessee, which I don't know why it matters what his mom But that's why he picked 16 for Peyton Manning. But I think we can finally put that to bed. Last night, that'll be the last time we'll see that picture on ESPN.
I think so.
I hope so. Until he plays the Colts, I think it'll come up when he plays the Colts.
Yeah, no, that's probably true.
I think they'll bring that up, maybe even the Titans too. But yeah, it won't be as frequent as you know we used to see it, or like last night where they had to do a whole thing about it and
always.
Always. They need something to fill the extra time they're making this draft stretch out for them. Mm-hmm. But lots of good players still left in the draft tonight. Like, there's arguably a top 15 player left with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, the linebacker of Notre Dame. Super athletic guy, super fast. I'm actually kind of shocked he is still available. And lots of teams that could probably use him, you know, early in the first round. I guess technically, like, you know, we all, our teams all still have picks in this day too. I think both in the second and the third round. But lots of good players. Some of the people, you know, looking to go early are obviously like the people like Elijah Moore, Javonte Williams, the running back out of North Carolina, that linebacker from Notre Dame I just mentioned, Chris Barmore. A few of the tackles are still on the board, but, you know, people thought could, you know, end up in the first round. Still haven't seen a safety go yet, so waiting on that. And obviously there's some corners that would still be there. And deep receiver class, you never know, any of those can go somewhere as well. But there's some great players left. Any players y'all are eyeing for your teams going into tonight? I know, obviously Titans probably don't pick around till, you know, early 20s again tonight.
Yeah, that's what kind of makes it tough. I mean, yeah. Do we project a lot of wide receivers to go in this early?
I would say Jacksonville is still a threat to take one.
Yeah, I'm not even considering Elijah Moore.
He'll, I was about to say, Elijah Moore would definitely be gone.
I would think
Could Terrence Marshall get to the Titans at 21?
I think he could. Yeah, I think he could for sure.
That's who I would want then. I like Terrence Marshall or Rondell Moore.
Okay.
I think Rondell Moore would definitely be
Rondell Moore, he's a great player if he can stay healthy. That's the thing. It would be a, you know, tough sell a little bit if, you know, you took two players with injury concerns and, you know, they both don't work out. But if you just look at some of these odds on FanDuel for, like, who's going to be, like, the next position drafted for the team, the first team that has wide receivers as a favorite is the Lions. The Lions are a pretty big favorite to take a receiver, which I think they will, because obviously they went Sewell in the first round.
Yep.
They still need some playmakers over there. They don't really have a lot of guys.
They lost both Jones and Galladay, right?
Yeah.
They are going to be so bad.
And they signed – they sign somebody, though? Allen Robinson was
Golden Tate.
No, I thought they may have signed somebody. I don't remember.
Did they even sign somebody?
Maybe not. Maybe they're just barren over there. I don't know who they have. So they definitely need to take a receiver. So they're one of those guys that probably will get receiver before y'all.
They got Breshad Perriman from the Jets, which isn't
Never mind. Then they have no.
And they got Tyrell Williams from the Raiders. So
they have
two guys that.
But yeah, besides them, the next team that's favored to take a receiver with this pick is the Titans. So
really,
you know, somebody may trade up if they see a guy they like sliding, or someone may just have a guy that's like, you know, if Elijah Moore's there before the Lions and the team had him super high on their board, and they may still take him. Like Jacksonville, like, I don't think they will, but they obviously could add another weapon around Trevor Lawrence there. So, yeah, I think the Titans have a legitimate shot at getting still a really good receiver in the late second round.
If I'm Tennessee, though, like at this point, since you missed out on first round wide receiver, you might as well try to trade for Julio, right? And that's kind of I wanted to bring that up, Cam. Like, since they did draft Kyle Pitts, do you feel like it's official? Like, that it's more likely, less likely? Like,
I don't think it really correlates a ton. Like, now people are going to be asking for us to see, you know, the fans are calling for. Now we have to see Julio out there with all these guys, see if, you know, the offense is really what, you know, what they want it to be with, you know, that many options out there. Anyways, like, even if we were going to, it's going to be a couple months, because if we did, it would have to be after that June 1st deadline, so the cap hit's a lot lower. I can't remember what it would drop to, but it would be a lot lower than now. So if he goes, that's going to be when it is. So for a couple months, I'm going to pretend like everything's okay, and then we'll be fine, and he's still going to be here. I would love to see him on the field, him, Pitts, and Ridley, and Hurst, and Gage, and just everybody out there, but we'll see what they do. They're probably going to go defense this draft pick now. Got to hope that pass rush we don't have. Got to get somebody there. There's a few good guys still sitting at the beginning of the draft in that aspect. They can.
I was about to say,
hole.
I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, but like, I feel like pass rushers, defensive ends, outside linebackers, that's probably the most loaded position.
Yeah, no, a little bit.
I mean,
like,
especially just in this, looking at second, third round.
Had
right
a
here.
Few pass rushers go a little earlier. Like, we obviously saw, like, Tyrone go at the end at 32 there.
Yeah.
The Bills took Rousseau. The Saints took the guy out of Houston as an edge rusher. Had a little more edge rushers than we kind of thought, you know, go in the draft. But, yeah, there's still some good ones there. I'd say tackle's still a pretty deep position. A few guys that were fringe first rounders are still available, thanks to the Raiders reaching a little bit. That helped. But, yeah, like, you know, Jacksonville's on the clock right now. They're – projected pick supposed to be a cornerback, so there's some good ones still there. Like, you get like the Asante Samuel Juniors,
right,
the Tyson Campbells, people like that. There's some good players still sitting at that spot for Jacksonville, and the Jets are probably gonna go running back, is what people are saying. Javonte Williams is a guy you gotta look at there, possibly going 34 to the Jets.
That kind of makes sense, though. I mean, where's Le'Veon Bell at? He's left, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Kansas City.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they don't really have anybody up there, so they probably do need to add some talent. Give somebody for Zach Wilson to hand the ball to, so he doesn't have to do it all, even though he will have to, and probably get killed a little bit back there. But, hey, that's what you signed up for, I guess, with the Jets. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Anybody you eyeing for the Cowboys sitting there at a...
You know, Cam, I mean, we got to get a corner, right?
Yeah.
You miss out on J.C. Horn. You miss out on Patrick Surtain. You got to get a corner. I'm seeing pretty much every indication that the Cowboys would not draft Asante Samuel Jr. They just – I don't know if it's just the scheme
fit. Styled,
they're just not a fan, apparently, just based on all the Cowboys reporters, all that. So I guess we're kind of looking at more of like a Tyson Campbell maybe right there at that 12th pick.
Yeah.
You kind of mentioned him a little bit. I don't know much about the – what about the corner from Washington, Elijah Molden?
I like him. He's pretty versatile. He's a nickel guy that you can put in the slot. You can basically put him at safety. You can put him outside. He's played a little bit of everywhere. I think he played a lot of the slot at Washington, if I remember correctly. I like him. Versatile guy. He's been mocked everywhere from early second to, like, mid-third. So, like, he's one of those guys that you're not really – I'm sure there's not, like, a great consensus on it, which it seems like there's a lot of, like, corners and stuff like that around this time. Corner gets to one of those weird positions where, like, you have your top few guys you're pretty sure of, and then the next few are all pretty similarly graded.
Right.
So it's very interchangeable with how people have them ranked.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just, like, yeah, a scheme fit, who your team kind of likes more and stuff like that, and it's another hard position to project to the NFL.
I do love – Trevon Moehrig, the safety from TCU.
Yeah.
I don't think he would fall to 12, just because I do think he has to go somewhere in that top 10. I mean, he was like mostly projected as a first round pick. Did you have him going in the first round?
I did have him going in the first round. I thought Washington was a place that may take him. I also thought the Jags were a threat to take him as well. But honestly, he may still be there at 12. Like, there's nobody with at the top of that first round with immediate safety need necessarily outside of, like, Jacksonville, but it kind of seems like they're leaning a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And they could take a mold in there and get the guy that's kind of dual versatile and you could play a little bit of everywhere. But besides that, I mean, they're the only team that's, like, I think a huge threat to take one. Falcons could as well. I don't think they're super high on Morig. I think they may try and wait and hope that Richie Grant is available in the third round.
UCF, right?
Yeah,
UCF.
Love that guy. Danny White product out there.
Hey.
But we'll see. I think he could be there for y'all, for sure. It just depends on, like, yeah, where he falls on your board, pretty much. And that's what it comes down to at this point. And it's even really hard to project, like, trades at this point of the draft, just because, you know, everybody's rankings and boards are different at this point. Like, there's usually a pretty decent consensus in the first round, but from here on out, it's a little all over the place for people. So we'll see. Titans, yeah, odds on FanDuel, they're -145 take a receiver. So I think that's definitely gonna be the play for the Titans tonight. Third round, I'm not sure where they go when they cycle back around in the third round.
Maybe the end.
I can see it. Yeah, that's
they did
more.
Sign Dupree, but
yeah, you can never have too much pass rush though. Yeah.
Especially when you have how many sacks they have last year? Like one of the worst in
the
NFL.
They all came at the end of the season with that white boy with the mullet. the thing about getting the D end right there is just kind of like there's not that many great impact defensive ends left in the second third round, in my opinion. Like, I mean,
no, yeah, you're drafting off potential at that point.
You are. And I feel like there's more proven wide receivers. That's why they're going to go wide receiver number two. Mm-hmm. And then number three, I mean, never know.
Yeah, I could see David really Lyman. Maybe if there's a tight end there you like.
Maybe Trey Smith.
Maybe you get a lineman. Kind of shore that up.
He's listed as number five guard right now. So.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to go to second round.
Don't think so?
I think there's a chance he doesn't get picked tonight. I hate to say that.
I mean, there's always a chance. He could be flagged by some teams, obviously, with his past. But there's a lot of teams that I think are still looking for offensive linemen. I think we're going to get a few really fly off the board. I think the Dolphins will go that route this time around. The Bengals, obviously.
And the biggest appeal for Trey Smith is just he's played pretty much every position, right? Like, I mean, he's
that versatility
so much.
Is hit big.
And then
obviously played
getting
in the SEC, been good.
And getting overlooked as being here at Tennessee.
Good discipline as well.
Have.
Like, I think I don't think he had it was either he, didn't have a penalty in his career or had, a super small number or something like that. But, stuff like that, there's the integrity things there and things like that. I think he's one of those guys that it has a real shot of being where he's supposed to go, and I think he could be in the second round for sure.
What about quarterbacks? Well, what do we think about quarterbacks?
Yeah,
you think a quarterback going to go second round? Or
I think we're going to see probably Trask and Davis Mills go.
Both tonight? You think both second round too?
I think Mills will go second round. His over-under on FanDuel right now is at 60.5 for his draft
pick.
Okay, so I think we may see him in the second round. They don't have any odds up on Trask at the moment, but I think Trask is another one of those guys that has a shot to go late second round. Like, we kind of talked about the Saints, Bucks.
I was about to say Buccaneers for sure.
So they could be leaning that way, in the late second round. Teams like that where you don't have a ton of holes, you can kind of afford to take that quarterback of the future. But we shall find out, and it's going to be a fun one. Another fun day of drafts. It's a good time all around over there. And, yeah, I was getting those odds off FanDuel. And speaking of FanDuel, they have lots of great stuff you can still do. NBA, MLB, still up there. Obviously, NFL Draft is doing stuff right now that you can get bets on. But one of the things we love about them on the basketball aspect is always finding the new player props and game props. You can do all sorts of stuff, combining those props with other bets in the same game parlay to get an even bigger payout. That's always super fun to do if you love your team. Me and John always tell you, take usually Capella's rebound over, Bogdanovich over. They're just consistent. Consistent players are the ones you kind of want to go for. But FanDuel's good with the odds. But, yeah, you can same game parlay those to get really good odds on that. Player point totals, rebounds, assists, money line, point spread, anything like that. You can root for your favorite player via parlays. You can put a small bet and win big. The odds are high and gives you great payouts in the same game parlays. You threw the money line, the point spread, the first basket score, points. You can go plus 10, plus 15, plus 20. Rebounds, assists, three-pointers made. The options are endless. So if you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, new users are also getting a risk-free bet up to $1,000. $1,000. Just place a bet, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. And right now, new and existing users get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short. You rambling through a basketball thing and with your NBA, you were on your NBA and you missed the baseball by one? Well, you get your $25 back. Shout out to FanDuel for that. But, yeah, so take advantage of that. Their same-game parlay insurance. Do stuff like that for sure. And that's why I bet on FanDuel. It's just fun, easy to use, and they take care of you. It's easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet, fast withdrawals. They get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. They also have tons of odd boosts and special promotions at all times. You can get great odds on some really cool stuff there. And live betting. Who doesn't love live betting? You're watching the game, you see a trend going one direction, boom, you can live bet on it. FanDuel always have those always updating for you. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and try Same Game Parlay and use promo code TALKSPORTS at sign up. That's promo code TALKSPORTS to let them know we sent you, and they will get you hooked up for sure. Must be 21 years or older, present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $25. Terms apply. See FanDuelSportsbook.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back on the other side.
Your pick.
All right. As we wind down hour two, we probably hit a quick NBA segment, kind of see what was going on around the association last night. We kind of talked about it a little bit too, like Kevin Porter Jr. dropping 50. I mean, and get the Rockets a big win over the Bucks.
It was like, crazy. They said the game before he shot like 2 for 12. He couldn't hit the side of a barn, and then comes out and drops 50 and 11 on the Bucks' head. That's just crazy. Nuts.
And he's one of those guys on FanDuel. He usually takes over on his points.
Yeah, no
that
kidding.
Usually hits. It's usually about like 17. Mm-hmm. But yeah, big win for them over the Bucks. I mean, it's that time of year where a lot of these upsets are happening. We've seen it a lot the past few days in the NBA.
Just from people resting,
I think it's just like
that's got a factor. That could be a lot of people out.
People you know, some of these like tanking teams, they're getting these like young scrappy players in there, but they're trying to like earn a roster spot, so they want to be on the team next year, and they have a future, so they're playing a little harder than probably some of these teams. But they're like, you know, like the Bucks are pretty solidified at the 3 spot, so they're not going to catch the 2. So they are pretty just kind of cruise control a little bit. And these other scrappy guys like Kevin Porter Jr. trying to prove that he's a good player, and the Cavs messed up by getting rid of him.
Hell, the Timberwolves have won 4 straight.
Yeah, the Timberwolves are rolling.
They're playing their best
the
basketball
Warriors
right
last
now.
Night.
Yeah,
they're doing great. Nuggets got a win over the Raptors. Mm-hmm. Big for Vim. Pelicans got a win over the Thunder, but a good win for Vim. But, you know, you got to beat the Thunder, stuff like that.
I don't think the Pelicans are going to catch them, though, are they?
I don't think so. It's a long shot.
I mean, even with
the
Warriors losing and them winning, they're still, what, 3 games? I said 3. Yeah, 3 games back right now.
Yeah, for sure. And we got some good ones tonight as well. Spurs-Celtics. You know, Spurs trying to hold on to a top 10 spot over in the West over there. Celtics, mm-hmm. you know, are in a battle with the – with the Hawks and Heat for, you know, just that kind of string of spots under 4 through 6, you know, in the East. That's still pretty contested. So that's a big game for them. Wizards still trying to keep it rolling. They got the Cavs tonight. Cavs pretty done on their end. But the Wizards are still trying to, you know, get into that playing game and get into the playoffs. Beal and Russell are trying to get it done over there for them. Grizzlies are in a must-win tonight against the Magic. You got to win that game. Nets, Trailblazers, pretty good one. Pretty good one.
Interesting.
Trailblazers need to still win to, you know, stay afloat for them. Bucks have the Bulls, another game where they should win, but
no Giannis.
Giannis, like you said, and, you know, they lost last night. So they would like to keep afloat, I think, and get that win. Jazz Suns tonight is probably the best game of the night.
Oh, wow.
That's a big
one. I guess, Suns a game back. So if they win that game, they'd be tied for first place in the West. So that's huge.
Yeah, that would be huge. So, yeah, that's a big game for them tonight. Chris Paul's trying to make that late MVP push.
I'm telling you, man, he's making a case.
Yeah,
he really
is.
Like, come on. It's just crazy, the difference in the Suns team. Because, like, talent-wise, like, what other changes have they had? Like, nothing significant, right? No other guys making that much of an impact other than CP3.
Yeah.
And they went from a bottom feeder to potentially getting the number one seed in the West. It's just crazy.
I mean, yeah, no,
like
it's –
somebody here said that a few months ago. I mean, wearing a white shirt today. You know that, Draymond? Do you remember that? Remember when I said that?
Everybody said what, like, Hayden?
I said Chris Paul should be getting MVP conversation because Charles Barkley said that night before. They laughed him off, and I agreed with Charles, and they laughed him off the stage on NBA on TNT, and then y'all didn't even respect me in here either. I think he's probably not going to win. Jokic's going to win.
Yeah. If he had a little bit better stats, like, yeah, I mean, he's only averaging 16. Yeah, 16 and 9 assists, which, hey, I mean, it's good for Chris Paul, but if he was averaging, like, maybe 20 and 10, something like that,
yeah,
you might give him a little shot.
I mean,
he's
been valuable to that team, like, by definition.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I mean, absolutely. Thing, completely change that team around.
But, yeah, no, so the Suns have been a problem. And, like you said, they can be tied for first in the West. And that's just what a turnaround for them as an organization.
Right.
But
in the East, just real quick, which team you guys think most likely could beat the Nets? I mean, Bucks, Sixers, you throwing in Boston.
Bucks chuck playoffs every year.
So you think Sixers are the only chance? I mean, if anybody has a chance at this point.
You could put Simmons on KD. Put Simmons on KD and you
– What'd you just say, Aiden?
I said probably the Heat.
Right.
Yeah.
They'll be playing them in the first round, so hope they get that upset.
Bias aside, it's probably the 76ers and then maybe the Hawks if they can score enough points.
Yeah, they would have to – like, it's going to be a story. Like, I mean, we had Lloyd Pierce coaching we played with him a little bit, but – yeah, it would be a scoring fest. I think the Sixers, because you could put, like, Simmons on Durant and kind of got enough little versatility
can't
there.
Really trust the Sixers, though, either.
I'm saying, you may be Milwaukee, though, because you got more defensive people. You put Giannis on Durant, Middleton on Harden, and Holiday on Kyrie. Matches up pretty well, but we'll see. It's going to be fun. But, yeah, it's winding down the NBA season. Got about 10 games left, like we mentioned, so it's getting there. But as much as getting there, hour two has also gotten there, and it is the end of hour two. We'll come back with hour three in headline, and Hayden's got to drink the pee at some point.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Clock's ticking.
But, yeah, we'll catch you on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.